Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 49 degrees and overcast. Today is Tuesday, September 27, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will hold a discussion with officials from Sea Alaska during the regular Assembly meeting scheduled for this evening. In May, Assembly members passed a resolution expressing concerns over Sea Alaska's land selection legislation. Bills working through Congress would deliver acreage from the Tongass National Forest to the Regional Native Corporation. The Assembly's resolution in May was a gentler version of what was proposed that night. The original language said the city opposed Sea Alaska's selections.
The last couple times they've been here, there's been a resolution on the table, and I think that starts out on a negative note.
That's Mayor Cheryl Westover, who says the goal of tonight's discussion is simple.
People just have questions, and it'd be nice to have some of the Sea Alaska folks sit down and answer questions and tell us a little bit more about themselves.
The public will also be able to ask questions, though Westover says she wants to ensure a civil discussion over the controversial plans. Sea Alaska's land selection legislation has long been a topic of debate in Sitka, along with its separate plans to select land around Redoubt Falls. The Assembly meeting begins at 6 p.m. inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. Raven Radio will provide live coverage of the meeting. Alaska wildlife troopers in Sitka are investigating one case of wanton waste and one case of failure to salvage all edible meat from several deer found near town recently. The first, last Wednesday, involved an animal found in the driveway entrance to Sitka High School. Tim Hall is a wildlife trooper based in Sitka.
The sign overnight, completely unsalvaged and not gutted, not field dressed. No meat taken from it, apparently left as a prank.
Hall says the deer was a young doe. He does not know whether it had been shot or hit by a car, only that it was completely intact and beyond salvage by the time it was discovered. He says school officials had removed the animal prior to the arrival of students that morning. Prank or no, the failure to salvage meat from a game animal is a serious crime. However, not all waste is necessarily wanton. Hall says sometimes animals are simply salvaged poorly. He says the most common motive is simply not taking the time to do it right.
Often it's people being in a hurry when they're butchering. It takes a few extra minutes to get all the meat off the deer and grind that into hamburger or whatever else people like to do with it. Or give it to a charity if you don't want it. And, those few extra minutes apparently are fairly precious to some folks after a weekend of deer hunting.
That seems to be the case with three carcasses found on Sunday on Sawmill Creek Road near the intersection of Blue Lake Road. Two small bucks and a doe had each been shot one time, but large amounts of meat remained on the carcasses. Hall says that unless all four quarters, the backstrap and tenderloin, have been taken, an animal may be considered all or partially wasted. The incident is being investigated as a lesser crime than wanton waste, the failure to salvage all edible meat. He says most folks find these crimes particularly difficult to forgive.
The big thing here is that people are outraged about deer being wasted. I think everyone who's a legal, ethical hunter sees that. Sort of a disgusting thing to do.
Anyone with information about either incident of wanton waste is encouraged to notify the troopers in Sitka at 747-3254 or call Wildlife Safeguard toll-free at 800-478-3377. The unsalvaged deer carcasses were donated to the Fortress of the Bear. An apartment building for senior citizens in Cake will get $50,000 from the federal government to improve energy efficiency. The Cake Elderly Apartment Building has 12 units and serves low-income tenants over the age of 62. The money is from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Arm and will be used for a new roof, windows, smoke alarms, doors, and energy-efficient appliances in all of the units. A USDA statement says energy efficiency is especially important in Cake, where electricity costs more than 60 cents per kilowatt hour. Judith Mason is a spokeswoman for the Klingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority, which runs the apartment building in Cake.
We're hoping to start right away. There's a brief environmental review, and then hopefully the crews can get started and get this done before severe weather sets in.
And Mason says the improvements to the building will also mean local jobs.
There's always a jobs aspect to various projects in the communities. And so that's what we're trying to do is build the number of jobs and provide some economic development type things there.
The Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority serves 12 communities. Within the KCAW listening area, the organization serves Cake, Yakutat, and Angoon. Alaska's 7th Annual Rural Energy Conference takes place this week in Juneau. The 3-day event includes technical workshops on newer technologies such as wind, tidal, geothermal, and biomass. Other sessions focus on funding, permitting, and regulations relevant to energy projects. Still others are on hydropower, regional electric grids, and efficiency. Field trips to Juneau power projects are included, so as an Energy 101 session, providing an overview for people new to the topic. The conference is sponsored by the Alaska Energy Authority and the Alaska Center for Energy and Power. Its theme is Energy Pathways to Alaska's Future. The event, Tuesday through Thursday at Juneau Centennial Hall, is expected to attract several hundred people from dozens of cities and villages. Last year's conference was in Fairbanks. It can be hard to find daycare in small town Alaska. The Petersburg Children's Center is a lifeline for working families, but the nonprofit facility has struggled financially recently after a former executive director stole thousands of dollars. Thanks to an outpouring of community support, the daycare remained open. KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein recently toured the Children's Center to find the preschool kids and their caretakers fully engaged in the business of learning and play.
And tickle Tommy?
A handful of children are at play on the carpet in the star room. It's the classroom for toddlers from a year and a half to three. Miranda Cavisto is the substitute toddler teacher.
This age group, we do a lot of singing. We like to sing songs. We work on our ABCs, our shapes and colors.
The staff cares for kids as old as 12 in the after-school program and as young as 6 weeks in the nursery.
I really absolutely love it because I love to take care of the babies. It's a lot of fun.
Anna Yarborough is one of two teachers in the nursery where they've come up with lots of activities to keep the babies busy.
A while ago, we started painting with frosting and just adding like Kool-Aid. And I really wanted a sandbox, so I smashed Cheerios and had like a sandbox.
Blueberry painting?
Oh, blueberry painting. Yeah, we do blueberry painting when we go pick up the berries. And when it's nice, we all go for a walk. And
sounds like all the materials are edible for this age. Is
yes.
that the idea? Because everything goes in their mouth?
Oh, yes, exactly. Everything goes in the mouth.
The Children's Center's been in business since 1974, and it's the only nonprofit daycare center in Petersburg. But it's been a rough road for the center this past year. The board fired the previous executive director this winter after discovering the theft of nearly $7,000. Former director Christy Ware has since pleaded guilty to the theft and paid back that money. She's currently awaiting sentencing under a plea agreement. However, the center also alleged that during her tenure as director, the organization was left with $45,000 in unpaid taxes, which generated thousands more in penalties and interest. Terry Falter has been with the center for 9 years and now serves as the new executive director. She says word quickly spread and the community support was overwhelming.
We weren't able to give a whole lot of information because of the investigation. Within a couple weeks, just word of mouth in a small community, the local Emblem Club had came up here and given us a check, you know, a monetary donation. And then the Elks Lodge had formed a luau, which brought in a little over $4,000. And then, of course, the Emblem Club went on to do the silent auction, which brought in $17,000.
The city later kicked in $15,000, and there were other private donations, but Falter says it wasn't just the money. People volunteered their time to help around the center. With the community's help, she says the center's paid its debt down to $10,000 and hopes to finish paying it off by April. After firing the previous director, the all-volunteer board went through training with the 4-Acre Group, an organization that provides support for nonprofits in Alaska.
And every one of our board members attended that training, and their eyes got opened up. And because such a bad thing happened, but the good things that have came out of it is, again, the community support, the support of the families, the staff, and above all, how the board has came together and became a very, very strong board.
Over in the Sunshine Room, 4-year-old Angus is happy to talk about his favorite activities.
I like playing around, playing with my toys and books, and I always read them every day when I'm sleeping, and then my mom goes on my bedroom and I sleep.
Angus's mom, Dania Davis, has two kids. Angus's little brother, Edgar, is also at the Children's Center.
It's very important. It's a lifeline to have the Children's Center up and operating and willing to take the kids and give them a safe place and a reliable place for us to be able to work and provide our safe home environment. We can't do that unless they have a safe daycare environment. So I've just been really happy with their cooperation and patience. Always.
Down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I did not go.
Between 40 and 50 kids are enrolled at the Children's Center this year. That's up from the past few years, and there's a waiting list. They still hope someday to expand.
My mother will say,
have you ever seen a whale with a poke in a tail? Down by the bay.
For AK in Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Hey, hey, give yourselves a hand. Yay!
So in weather forecast for Sitka and Port Alexander today, calls for mostly cloudy skies, chance of rain, highs around 55, northwest winds 10 miles per hour, shifting to the west in the afternoon. Tonight, chance of showers in the evening, then showers late, lows around 46. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 52, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Thanks for joining me. Have a good morning.